And we fucking live, baby. What's Cuddy family? Welcome back to another installment of the Tony Talks podcast. My name is Tony, and of course you can't hear me talk. And I am reporting to you live from our special guest garage, aka his jam session. For this episode, I got a real special guest, a good friend of mine. We go bashy. It's a college friend of mine. He was the young lad that I was kicking it with for a cool 4 years. So we got the one and only Christian, aka school shooter. but we'll get to why we call him that in a second. But what's up, Christian?
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for having me, guys.
So yeah, so I got Christian on the show, and so funny story. So how me and Christian met was, I think it was freshman year. Yeah, it's around freshman year where I was actually kicking it with a friend, a mutual friend of ours. His name was Ivan, and then me and Ivan always kick it, hang out, and then we would be walking about the university, and occasionally we run into some weird, frizzy haired, you know, little kid with a guitar, you know, and you were really jittery too. I remember the first time I met you, you were like, really? Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, no, I remember I didn't have a guitar. I used Ivan's guitar. He used to get mad at me because I never used to bring mine or like, you know.
Oh, okay. Then I think I probably met you when, like, you got your first guitar, I think.
Oh, no, I already had my guitar. I was too lazy to bring it. And
So you're always just trying to, like, just tell Ivan, like, yo, let me just fucking jam out your shit.
Yeah, I guess it was, you know, it's, like, we were starting Summer Bridge, I think, and then, like, college, and then I guess I was maybe nervous. I'm like, oh, guitar, something I actually know. And then, so maybe that was why I always jumped on it.
Okay, so... Long story short, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't get the gist of it, Christian here is a musician, and a damn good one, too. He actually studied music. Here is a music major. What's your specialty? Like, what's your specialty instrument?
I'm a performance with emphasis in jazz guitar. I'm going to put quotes or an asterisk because it's a little more complicated than that. We'll get into that later.
Okay. All right. Cool. So, yeah. So, all right. So, that's how me and Christian met. And then after that, pretty much, after that, it was pretty much just history, because slowly we just started to, like, hang out, because we would, like, slowly form a group, which was, like, our squad back in college that we would, like, build up. And it was pretty big at a certain point. But, yeah, Christian would always...
It preceded itself.
Yeah, it preceded itself. It really did. But but nonetheless, so, yeah, Christian would always... At first, I think you were coming occasionally, no?
Like, not occasionally. Like, I had other friends, too. Like, I was, like... balancing new friends and I had people I played Yu-Gi-Oh with, people.
Oh yeah, you were fucking kids up in fucking Yu-Gi-Oh, bro. Oh, aside from being a fucking killer musician, this man will fuck you up in those goddamn Yu-Gi-Oh fields, bro. He'll send your ass to the fucking graveyard, son, to the fucking shadow realm.
Not even that. You remember Pedro, right?
Oh yeah.
I saw him. I actually saw him recently too. Yeah, like, and then like maybe keeping up with like high school friends, other friends, and then like, and you guys just kind of stuck. I kept like gravitating towards you guys, like.
Because we're the fucking shit, okay.
And, you know, Ivan, you know, somebody to jam with, too. And then, like, it was funny. We had another friend, Jenny. Like, I met her, then I met him, then they already knew each other, then they got together. And, like, I was like, wait, that... Oh, then it was, like, this whole thing, like...
Yeah, so ultimately it grew into this big thing, and then...
Everybody just kind of knew each other.
Yeah. It was, like, small bits and pieces of friends that ultimately came together, like, one big group.
I actually don't know who knew Cherry. I think Jenny knew Cherry?
I don't know. We had so many people in there. At a certain point, it was just so hard to keep up with.
Talk about that first. Okay, so I have a joke. So, like, that first freshman squad, I call it season one. And there's, like, a running gag. Like, so by the time we were in sophomore year, I call that season two. And I call that, like...
Yeah, because it grew and there was, like, different... It honestly was. It was like a draft.
It was like a TV show. Like, it felt like a TV. Like, it
looked the Bachelorette. Like, who stayed and who left?
Well, not even Bachelorette. It's like, it was the millennial version of Friends is what when I describe it to people, like, and the shit that happened, and like,
and then by the end of college, it kind of got to that, like, last season where, yeah, like, all the original pretty much fucking people were, like, gone, and it was just, like, only a couple people left, and then you knew it was on his last leg and shit.
And we had I feel like, but that was more because, like, everybody was doing their major classes, but we all kind of,
Yeah, because you, along with another friend of ours, Jose, who also I'm planning on having on the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to recommend him to you. And,
oh, definitely. He's on the fucking list. So Jose is coming very soon. Guitarist for Lydian Arrow. What's Lydian Arrow? Get knowledge, kid. One of the greatest bands that are going to come up right now.
Lydian Arrow, guys, it's incredible. Prog, jazzy, indie. It's like...
It's the shit, bro. Hey, you know that feeling when you're doing it and then you bust like a fat... Like in sex, your first... load, like your first nut that you bust, and how good it feels. You get the little tingle up your spine, you know, your little fucking nutsack start quaking and shit like that. That's literally how his fucking music is, bro, in like every single track. So if you want to feel a nut quaking experience, bro, Lydian Arrow. Shout out Lydian Arrow one time.
And then I'm point is though, like before Lydian Arrow,
that you guys are doing major courses. Oh, but but okay, so how about this then? Because I actually want to know, because you know what's funny? You music majors would always have the weirdest schedules and the weirdest requirements. So take us through the life of a music major and what makes it so different.
There's some people don't understand. The program anyway, what used to be like every other program except so the classes we had would exceed 120 units. And there was I forgot when, maybe in the 90s or 2000s, the governor or something, there was like a reformation or something, like they redistributed, they wanted to reform it where every major only didn't exceed 120 units. That's like the normal college diet, you know, 120 units and whatever. And what they did with our classes, which was that instead of cutting the curriculum, because we kind of need that, otherwise, you know, what's the point of getting an education? They just cut the units from 3 units to 1 unit, but the curriculum stayed the same. And the only thing that changed was that they're 1 unit now, and they went from an hour 15-minute courses to 50-minute courses, but the curriculum stayed the same. So, and the theory is each unit is 3 hours of work, and we're in theory, we're doing 9 hours of, if we want an A, you know, 9 hours of work for what's essentially a 1 unit class. And they extended it to like a bunch of 1 unit so that it could fit 120 units and which would extend to a lot of classes, which would look like a lot. But like it, and then we had we also had personal lessons for our instrument of choice. Like I studied jazz guitar, so I would get 45-minute jazz guitar lessons once a week, and that was 1 unit. Then we had a repertory class where we showed our what we were working on to our other colleagues, and that was another 45-minute class. Our musicianship class, which is just like sight reading, sight write, you know, writing music. And like,
you got to slow down. You got to kind of explain what these things are, because you're just talking like everybody knows this, bro. I feel like the audience is just like wait, what? Is it going to be in the test?
Right. So, you know, basically.
Wait, okay. So hold up. Okay. Real quick. So the people can listen. So basically, long story short, instead of having like, because normal classes in college would be 3 units. But musicians had to take a lot of classes because lessons and stuff technically were classes. And instead of making it 3 units and they won't exceed the 120, which was just the minimum requirement, they just took all those classes and made them 1 unit courses. So this guy was basically taking like 8 fucking classes a semester, but each class was only 1 unit and it was just like a 1 hour guitar lesson or like session or something like that.
Yeah. And then like other stuff, it gets more complicated. Like, and then you have to balance that with, you have to decide if you're going to take GEs.
Because you take the GEs at the weirdest times, dude.
The thing is, so there were, like, for example, it wasn't until my 6th year of college and 6th year, that was my dog.
Bless you.
So the reason why, for example, it wasn't until like the last semester I took like I think a psychology class and anthropology, was because the GEs, they'll always be offered, like they're gonna have them every semester. But a lot of the classes were seasonal, and a lot of classes were like two parts. Here's part one, and then in the fall, and part two in the spring. So, oh, and then we also had they also introduced intermediate and advanced guitar method. So that was another 1 unit class. That was just to kind of like make the guitar program a little more official. And there was a seasonal like thing too, but because the classes were seasonal, those classes took priority. So there'll be so many times like I took maybe a total of 3 philosophy classes that I had to drop because another class took priority.
Yeah, you have quite the track record of having the most fucked record, dude. Like even your fucking like, isn't your graduation status like pending right now?
Yeah, that's oh man.
You want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So basically, I did my FAFSA late. There was a misunderstanding. And
not the first time you did this fast for late, I'll tell you that right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Last, actually. Like, after that.
How many times did you, like, fucking miss out on fast for?
Two, actually.
Two. Jesus, two. You think after the first time, bro, you need to get your money, bro. Yeah. Hold on. Before we go into your story real quick, let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Chris had quite the fucking history with this goddamn financial aid. You know, I'm telling you, like, everybody would have their money, they'd be cool with textbooks, this and that. And he's just like, bro, I haven't gotten my shit yet. I'm just like,
there was this one weird time where I did do it on time and they just lost my form. Like they said they can't find it. So I had to do it again. And it was,
you should have fucking sued, bro. I would have ran hands with everyone in FAFSA. They lost my fucking paperwork.
I had no idea what, like, maybe I gave it to like an amateur, but I don't know what.
But that shouldn't be your fault though, because you, what the fuck? They better run you your fucking check.
You know, I guess it was like one of those things, like you're under duress, like, all right, what am I gonna do now? And then like,
which is so funny, because yeah, like halfway through the semester, we've already like halfway blown through the money. You're just like, bro, you guys, I just got my money. You're just like, what the fuck? Like midway through the semester, already past like the first midterm.
I usually get through like with like if I score a gig or something.
Oh yeah. So yeah, we'll go into that a little bit. So going back to how you, okay, so we'll go from how your graduation status is pending, and then we'll kind of go into the other part of the music major, which is how the fuck you make money out of that shit. Because so many people, like, there's a big stereotype about that. But we'll get to that in a bit. But Quincy, yes, graduation status pending. Why?
So that year where, there was, I think I did something wrong on my FAFSA. It wasn't that I did it late. I accidentally put that was a master's, and, you know, master's students don't get financial aid. It was, I had to put undergrad or something. Like, I think that was what happened. But point is, I had to sign up for a class late. Then it got dropped in the middle without me knowing. But only the classes I added late got dropped. I added a guitar lesson and my a speech class. But those got dropped for some reason. It was just weird. Because I really don't remember. But the point is, it got dropped. But I did the class. And I remember even getting a grade for it. I remember getting the grade. And I ran into that professor, and I went to admissions and records and said, like, oh, the press has to come here. She said, oh, email me. Like, what year did you take my class? I can go through my records. And it was in the last semester. And but then a week before, like, this happened, coronavirus hit.
The Rona.
And basically, she could not, you know, have I don't know if she – I keep emailing her, and she hasn't responded. And I'm like, hey.
Basically, Bravo 6 going dark. She went fucking ghost on you, son.
Yeah, like she didn't, like she was not responding. Like, hey, did you ever just go? Like, all you have to do is go and tell them my grade. And I don't know if she has stuff going on. Apparently, all professors had like a lot of issues too, like, you know. And
all of a fucking sudden.
Well, everybody has a life, apparently, you know.
No, but these fucking professors, man, I'm telling you, man, they're always on your ass about, oh, everything has to be on time. I won't take no late word, no nothing this. But, oh, they took 5 ever to grade our fucking quizzes. The fucking get us an email response. Oh, like, yeah. Fucking kiss my ass. Well, I mean, some professors were cool. I'm going to keep it a stack. Some professors were cool. No,
it's a lot more complicated than that, of course. But the point is, admissions records, I called another building that said that admissions records only meets once a month. And I'm thinking, oh, point is, it's so I'm in a weird status where, like, it doesn't say that I didn't do the class, but it didn't say I completed it. It's still in yellow, in process, like processing. But I have no idea where they are in that process.
So long story short, ladies and gentlemen, this man is in purgatory right now. But I feel like, I mean, and then didn't you play fucking hooky in a Zoom class?
Yes. So I failed the class. I failed the class because
man, I was playing virtual ditch, dog.
Yeah, apparently it looks like I ditched the whole class, missing on a bunch of participation points that, you know. And
why is that?
So the first week of coronavirus, like, a professor sent out a link on like Zoom. I'm like, wait, and I'm thinking, what the hell is Zoom? And like, then I realized, oh, Zoom lessons are, oh, not Zoom lessons, Zoom class. Well, yeah, we had Zoom lessons, but Zoom class is going to be a thing. It took me a week later, but then I forgot about that email. And all of my other classes, attendance wasn't exactly required. They were recorded. And I'm thinking, oh, all the classes are like that. And then I forgot that class. Like, it was like, he did it the first day when Rona hit, and like when classes got canceled, at least in-person classes got canceled. And it just slipped my mind. So I apparently ditched class for the rest of the semester. And then I failed the test, an online test, because I mixed it up with another email with another test, online test that I did pass that one, but I messed up the time frame. So it's like
the test was from 1 to 6, and you did the what? The 2 to 9,
I think.
Oh, Jesus.
I think I got like a B or something, but no, maybe it was a C. I can't remember. I passed that class. Doesn't matter. It was biology. No, anthropology. So,
somology.
So the point is also, oh, to add to that one unit thing though, with our lessons, so there's our lessons, then our repertory class, which is we just show what we're working on to our peers and our professor, and then we had to take with whatever we had to take an ensemble class where that correlated with the instrument that we played. So I played jazz guitar, so I was in the guitar orchestra, and there was two parts to that. So like, there's guitar orchestra where we like play as a group, and then there's guitar ensemble where we play in smaller groups, and like the classical guys will play in classical guitars, and jazz guitarists play jazz pieces, you know, in like in like groups of three or four or two, you know, depending on what the setup was and what the skill set was. There was some guy, some guys doing like cool covers, and it was. So that's another reason why our schedule was kind of weird. And then I also took jazz ensemble just because I liked it. I didn't have to, but I played bass in that, and that's a whole another can of worms.
Funny story actually going into that. Real quick, little side story. Actually, wait, what were we gonna talk about next? The music playing part. But actually, I want to talk about one thing first. I know I'm a fucking mess, but you know what? This is perfect because it's actually a good transition into something that is fun that we should talk about, because it's interesting. Because yeah, you play bass, and I actually knew, or like we started to get to know each other really well when you were playing your bass. And actually, funny story is you got me to actually pick up the bass. Yeah. Because I saw it, and I even asked you, like, is bass like kind of easy to learn or something like that, or like, you know, was it an easy instrument to kind of pick up? And then you were like, yeah, it's okay. And then I remember I told you, it's like, yo, come with me one day. And
I went with him to a Guitar Center, and he got his first bass, and I took my guitar. We were like just jamming. I was showing him how to play bass, and it was a.
Let me tell you, I was hot ass as soon as I got the bass, because I didn't know anything about the instrument. But yeah, we went to the Guitar Center in Cerritos. Made a big trip out of that shit. I actually bought, it was a Squier P bass. Yeah, it was a Squier P bass. Yeah, I wanted a P bass because I was like, fuck it. Everybody, as I know, plays a P bass first. So I was like, I'll get a P bass. And there was a little package too. So it came with the P bass, strap, amp, cord.
We also bought
a dainty ass pick.
The Slayer album, like the most recent Slayer album, Repentless.
Oh yeah, you wanted to get the last Slayer album, which was Repentless too, I remember.
And then like we saw
your quick review on that album.
Pretty cool. Like it was like a modern they definitely like, it sounds like them, but it's a little
old.
A little more like it's kind of, it feels like they're taking notes from deathcore and implementing it with like the old school sound. So it's like it was really interesting. Like there's a lot of melodic riffs, melodic solos and melodies, along with like your heavy riffs. And I remember we were like blasting it in the car on the way back, and we saw him play it live, with the guitarist of guitarist from Lydian Arrow, Jose Plasencia, was with us.
Fucking another fucking story. Look, you know what? Fuck the schedule. We're just, and the minute a new story comes up, we're just gonna bounce stories, because like I said, we got history, man. Because also another thing with Christian, I saw Slayer with him both times.
Yeah. We saw Slayer twice.
One in Bakersfield.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was like, I forgot you invited me, right? And I think I forgot why I was short on money. I can't remember what I spent my money on, or if that was a semester my financial aid came late.
I think it was. Yeah, but long story short, I bought the tickets for us, because I was like, fuck it, because you fucked with Slayer, and then I fucked with Slayer, and I didn't want to go to Slayer alone, especially all the way in fucking Bakersfield. I'm like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to take somebody and make a road trip out of it. So I took Chris, and yeah, dude, it was like a fucking four-hour drive, dude, yeah. There and back.
Was it 4 hours? I thought it was like two.
No, dude, it felt like it was four. It felt like hours, dude.
Back. Oh, man, we were so dead the way back.
Yeah, no, and then you know what's crazy, bro? I'm going to keep it a stack. My fucking car is kind of a piece of shit, dude. So the fact that we made it to Bakersfield and back without a hitch, dude, I'm like, shout out my car one time. It's a fucking shit bucket, but you know what? It gets the fucking job done.
We saw him the first time, and then, like, I was really grateful. I was like, I made sure to, like, in my head, I'm like, I got to make it up to this guy somehow. And then next year, I was like, these shirts are kind of expensive. I'll probably buy one, and I'll probably spot them at every opportunity I can.
No, you ended up, no, the second time we went to see Slayer, you bought me a shirt, but it was another Christianist in it. You lost your fucking debit card.
I think it was when we bought our, like, I forgot what I bought.
Yeah, we went to get drinks.
I bought you alcohol, there we go. And you were gonna spot me food or whatever.
You made me sound like a minor. You're like, I bought you alcohol.
Oh, no, you said, hey, just spot me, give me alcohol, and like, I'll pay for your food later after this. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. You got, like, vodka or something.
Yeah, we got, like, vodka cranberries. And some gay-ass drink.
But we got that, and I think they just kept my card, or maybe I thought I put it in my wallet.
Yeah, because you were off on adrenaline high, because something Christian was, every time we go to Slayer, bro, you're just jumping in the fucking pits. It was,
Lamb of God and Behemoth, right?
Dude, yeah, it was a stacked lineup, too. Lamb of God, and then fucking Slayer. So, tell me, it wasn't a fucking...
Also, realizing a lot of, like, the old-school metal bands are, like, really, like... there's like a weird, not weird, like it's a cool thing. A lot of the old school guys are like really collabing with the new school guys, like the metalcore guys, deathcore guys. Like the weirdest, it was with that mutual friend that I met, Anthony, through Ivan. He invited me to a concert in downtown LA. And at the time, Ivan and I he was a big fan of, I think he still is, a big fan of the band who was headlining, Killswitch Engage. And but
Killswitch Sex Cage.
But like the thing about why this has to do with Slayer, their Slayer lead guitarist Jeff Hammond's been dead for like decades now.
Rest in peace, Jeff Hammond.
And who they have playing for him in his place is the guitarist from Exorcist.
Exodus.
Did I say Exodus? Exodus. Yeah. Exodus. Yeah. There we go.
Not actually, that's the movie playboy.
Exodus. What's his name? You remember his name?
Fucking no. No, it's only Taylor?
I used to know
Gary Taylor? Yeah, or Gary Show? Gary's. It's
Gary Show? Ah, fuck.
I think it's either Gary. It's something with a Gary.
The point is, Killswitch Engage, a metalcore band from like the 2000s, and they were headlining, but going like opening up for them was Unearthed. They were like, they're like a some band from like Middle America, some like the Midwest or something, and they play like metalcore, but like inspired by like death metal from Europe or something. And then after them was Exodus. It was the craziest lineup I've ever seen. Like,
wait, so that Midwest band Exodus and then Killswitch?
Wait.
So Exodus opened up for Killswitch?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Holy Exodus shit!
Opened up for Killswitch, and it was pretty. And I was like, and the only reason, like,
for those people that don't know, that's a pretty big deal because yeah, Killswitch is a pretty modern band, and Exodus has been around since the fucking like start of thrash metal, dude. They're like thrash metal royalty, bro.
Consider them like another runner up for like the big
four
metal.
Because everybody thinks like everybody's kind of like thinking like Anthrax is like the weakest link. I'm like, Anthrax is cool. They got
like one album from them. I feel like they fall for more to the punk side because they have that New York thing going on. But I see the appeal, like that album, Among the Living.
Yeah.
I like that album a lot. Like they have like the it's a lot more controlled chaos compared to like Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth.
Fuck that. I still think Slayer should have let the big four, bro. Like everybody's talking about Metallica this, Metallica. Listen, Metallica's good, but it's like, bro, they kind of sold out. Like Slayer never, I mean, they sold out like once when they tried to go like on that like new metal type thing with Diabolus and Musica. But like if that's Slayer at their worst and their most sellout point, that's still heavier than like fucking anything that fucking.
Favorite Slayer album is probably Divine Intervention.
Yeah, you say Divine Intervention, like low key, it's very underrated. It's
a sleeper album, like
yeah. People are mad sleeping on Divine Intervention.
Find that one about that one, like I mean I knew about it, but I didn't give give it the light of day until like my sophomore after seeing them live, and I looked into it and I'm like, why are we not talking about this? Like
dude, that has one of my top five favorite Slayer songs. It was Ditto Head.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Dude, holy go like, stupid fat.
Like Killing Fields, and there's one where like there's one song that's very like un-Slayer that like they where they switched from like more like not thrash metal but more traditional metal to like just punk style, like they just kind of do the switch.
Oh yeah,
I forgot which one, but
because also like because Slayer was, because that's probably the reason why Slayer played so fast, because they were like hella influenced into punk because they did an all punk like cover album.
They could have been more like people don't realize they could have been more like Anthrax, and I like their first album, which is like my least favorite album, Holy Wars, right?
Wait no, for what?
Slayer.
No, it was Show No Mercy.
Show No Mercy, there we go.
Hey, Show No Mercy slaps, dude. Loki, I feel like, dude, if you listen to, listen. I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of that cheesy 80s, very 80s type vibe, but keep it a stack, though. If you listen closely, that's some of Tom Araya's best bass playing, dude.
Tom Araya? Huh.
Yeah, like, because Loki, I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna keep it a stack. He kind of got lazier during the later on times. Like, he played usually the three, the zeros, the ones, you know, the type of notes. But in Show No Mercy, he definitely let the fucking chops. Like, he was playing a lot more fills, licks, like.
I'll look into it again. I'm always, like, going back to it, even though I don't like it, like.
Yeah, because in the beginning he was playing all fingering style, and then he moved to picking.
There's a few songs I like in there. I keep going back to it, and I'm like, no, I don't like this. I'm like, okay, it's like one of those albums, like, even like, okay, I'll give it another listen again. I'm like, okay, and then it's one of those weird albums that I keep going back. Like, do I like it? Am I more open minded enough to? I feel like why I'm not a big fan of it. It reminds me of like they sound like a punk band that was inspired by like. I said Iron Maiden, and then my neighbor confirmed that it was more like, it was actually Judas Priest.
Yeah, or like Venom.
Venom, like that power metal.
Venom slaps.
That power metal and early glam metal kind of, I'm not a fan of glam metal.
Like, I kind of fucks with glam metal. Look, listen, I feel like a lot of glam metal bands were at their best in their early stuff. Like, if you listen to early Motley Crue, like their debut album, which is considered like their weakest, like a weak debut album, which is not that bad. If you hear it again, have a lot of fast riffs that are like very punk and almost thrash like.
The guitar work is amazing, but it's also all like the themes.
Yeah, because the image, of course, you got fucking dudes dressing like chicks talking about they want to just bang all night and just party every day and stuff.
Misogyny. There's like some misogynist stuff. So.
Misogynistic themes. Disguised by queer dress play.
But here's my problem with glam metal. Like, most metal is very disapproving of society. Like, it takes something fucked up about society, they sing about it, but it's like, I guess it's like the South Park of music genres, where like it's like we're kind of fucked up. Like Slayer's always talking about war and war ensemble. There we go. Like
Slapper.
Like it's taking the perspective of like some deranged lunatic. Like, it's probably, I mean, I'm not trying to get too deep into Slayer because even they probably didn't think about it. But like, it didn't make me think, at least, like, does war turn you into a lunatic, or do you have to be a dangerous lunatic to survive war? You know, it's like,
or even want to go to war.
And you know, and even though they have pro war. Like they have pro family, they have family and the military and stuff, but they probably, you know, war isn't really a good thing. And what's Dave Mustaine was like, he, a lot of his music was influenced by like his life of domestic abuse, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, like living on, trying to make it on his own.
And then Jesus came into his life.
Yeah, like, but the one is, metal is always like disapproving of society, like maybe how society treats certain people, like counterculture, like even the Ramones, which are by today's standards, what, classic rock?
Punk.
But like, you know, the long hair was like, you know, it was a statement against like, not gender roles, but like, you know. Like,
the society's like look of the average man.
Yeah, and like, they're like, no, I want to have my
hair. You have like fucking Ramone type hair right now too. It's like, all fucking bushy and out of here if you could see
like,
it.
Like, but they're like, no, I want to have my hair however the fuck I want, you know. And glam metal was more of a celebration of, it's like pop music, a celebration of society, like, as in, like,
well, because it was the 80s, man. They want to just, you know, do fucking coke, man. Where's the blow, bro?
Well, not even that. More like a celebration of, like if it's normal to, like be misogynistic and homophobic, and if that's like society's standard, they'll push it and not question it. You know, like, it's just a stamp where metal would, like, oppose it, unless, like, I mean, don't go wrong, there's a lot of misogyny and homophobia in metal, in any genre, too, but for the most part, it's, metal tends to be disapproved, and I guess I'm sounding like an edgelord, like, yeah, fuck society, but, like, it's more like, you know, there's some negative things about society that, like, that we're probably not addressing, and I feel like that's another thing, like, people don't realize with metal, like, it's very, we're venting in a, like, it's a very healthy way to vent, like, I'm not a, you've known me for a long time, I wouldn't say I'm very violent, I'm not.
You're awkward, but chill.
And, like, I'd say, like, people with metal, they say, like, there's two sides. There's the musical side and the lifestyle side. And then there's Dave Mustaine, who was both. And most people are somewhere in, like, a mix of both. Some people like the music a lot. Some people like the attitude, you know, like fuck everyone and shit. You know, like, don't fuck with me, that kind of stuff. And
that tough Chad type behavior.
Basically, yeah, which is very ironic, too. But you don't realize, you know, like, metal's a very... Like, even mosh pitting, it's just impersonal violence. You're venting, but everybody helps each other. Like, they get up. Like, you're not getting in the fights because somebody hit you, because everybody's hitting each other. Like, it's life.
I know, Chris. You're the first one to dive in those fucking mosh pits, and you're having a fucking time and a half, bro. You leave. I remember the first fucking time. Literally, when we went to go see Slayer the first time, the first pit you entered, as soon as Slayer came out, bro, you slipped on beer ate total shit, bro. On my back too. Yeah, on your foot. No, your back and, like, your side, too. It was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. But still, you got the fuck up and you just kept going and going. And you know what's funny? I think you really had a quiet adrenaline rush, because it wasn't until the next day we were like, bro, I was so sore. I could fucking barely feel my legs, dude.
It's metal shows for you. But point is, people don't realize metal is, you know, kind of, I mean, it's become more mainstream now. Like it's just another thing now. But
you got to be careful, though, because... Bro, remember at that Slayer show, the first Slayer show, there was, like, people from, like, MS-13, and then there were fucking Nazis, like, people with, like, fucking swastika tattoos. They were getting their fucking shit rocked in the pit, too, man. Nobody fuck with him, bro.
Yeah, there's, like...
Punch a Nazi, dude.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who probably, like, misinterpret
Yeah, these are these fucking assholes that misinterpret metal lyrics and try to make it like about some white supremacy shit. It's like, get that shit the fuck out of here, dog. Bro, the fucking lead singer is from fucking Chile, dog. What the fuck is you talking about? What is this white?
Everybody thought he was Mexican.
No, it's Tom Arise. No, she's Chilean.
Yeah, I know he went to Southgate High. That's where we are, Southgate High.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the remote location is Southgate. You would not, don't give him too many details because then they'll fucking stalk you, bro.
Oh, yeah. Slayer's like from like HP, which is like. I remember I used to wear my HP, my Slayer shirt, like open when I worked at 7-Eleven. And like a lot of people from HP, that when the HP High, when Slayer was around, they'd be like, hey, that band's. I used to see that band when I back when I was young and like.
The Show No Mercy days.
And like, I think before that. No, as in like, no, not in concert. I'm like, oh, you mean in concert? Like, no, like in the backyard. Like,
yeah, like school and shit.
No, like the backyard right here, like down the street. Like they used to live around here. And I'm like, really? Like yeah, I want to, or they'll be like, hey, I want to school with those guys. They're kind of weird, but they're cool.
Yeah, Tom Araya was supposed to go to our university.
Oh, yeah, and then I think his band took off.
Yeah, the band took off. Damn, if only. He could have been a fucking Toro, man.
Found out that singer from my band. Oh, right. I'm in a band.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Well, also, we'll plug your stuff later, too. But right now, give a quick little shout out to the band. What's up?
Yeah, I'm in a band, Resonance. And we play, it's kind of weird, like funk, indie, pop. I try to sneak in some jazzy like stuff.
It's a gumbo genre, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just one flavor. We're talking about this is the M&Ms of music. A lot of colors, a lot of flavors.
Yeah, because we all come from different flavors. Like drummer, we got loves gospel, plays jazz. Like he plays for like two churches on Sunday. Like I'm talking about gospel. Like you can't catch me playing that shit because that's a whole another. That's a whole nother technique. I don't feel you can't put me in the gospel church.
You need to be possessed by Jesus to be able to play like that.
I'm gonna get put in my place. Like I that's and then we I hit the lottery with this one kid, Nick Ortiz. Hopefully he's listening. He plays sax. I got him when he was young, like a freshman, and by a sophomore, like he got some training and he got way better and everybody wanted to play with him in his group. And I'm like, I kind of banked on like the stock market. Like I made a little investment and then that shit blew up. And like, we're actually going to put out a new single. It's called, Dreamboat. There we go. And he has a sax solo in it. And, we're still doing revisions. We got sent like revisions and we're like sending back feedback for what we want. We were supposed to record our EP this summer, but then Corona hit.
Rona.
And we have another sax player. He our guitarist, he arranges for the horns. We have our singer. She's a gospel singer as well. She has a bassist in soul, classical music. And we've been trying to get around like everybody's in school, our singers in graduate school. Everyone's like going to my school. I'm barely just like getting out, which is, even though that's complicated, but so like we're all trying to like balance our schedule, and we're gonna, you know, we plan to release an EP, but then that got canceled, so now we're just kind of postponing it. And for the most part, we're making revisions to our existing rep to make it more. I also do arrangements with Ida Villegas. She's a singer. I started off with like we both like this show called Steven Universe. There's like a lot of cool there's a lot of cool like songs in it, and I'm like. And I told her that I like the songs, and they're like, oh, we should play together. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I made my own arrangements that, like, they took on a life of their own, kind of. So that's kind of, like, some of the projects I'm involved in.
His point is the man has a busy schedule, but you know what? That's a good transition into the one of the things that we talked about earlier, which was how you make a living, because one popular stereotype that music majors face is like, oh, there's no money in that, and that, this, that. Like, from what I'm hearing and from the way I see it from you know, outside looking in, Chris has made quite, you know, he's out here surviving, and he's done a lot of that through his gigs and stuff like that. So give us like your take on how like you can make money in this industry and how you started out. Like, well, how was it? Was it like a one-time gig where you just got, you know, fucking free food, and then food turned into like a little pocket change? And then, you know, like how does it work? Like, how do you land from like having to play just to get your name known to like starting to have some little money in your pocket?
Well, it's never consistent. Like, everyone's first gig is going to be different. It was more like you meet people, they have gigs, you meet people that need a band, they need live music, and then like, and you sometimes you get a group going, or sometimes you just have like, on my phone, I try to prioritize like having as many musical contacts as I can, like people I can call on that on a dime, they can do a gig. Hey, I have a gig tomorrow, I have a gig tonight, can you do it? Can you learn these songs? And I try to have people who can learn, who can like, who just know or like, and can catch on quick. And
so were you one of those people, like the ones that caught on quick, that were like, yeah, I can do it? Or were you just like, I'll do it, and then you just kind of threw caution to the wind and kind of was like trial by fire?
Yeah, it was like a little bit of both. Like, I was developing like I was getting better, but I was also like hang on by every gig's different. Some gigs are way easier than others, some rep is easier than others, and you have hard stuff, and then like, or sometimes like you could have a bunch of easy songs, but there's so many that you have to remember like every detail and you don't have a lot of time. So it's a lot of weird situations. But there was this one time where like I put too much on my plate. That's another thing, like you can't have too much on your plate, and where like you're trying to balance school and life, and I didn't have my license for a long time. It's really about it was kind of like when I fucked up on this one gig, for example. It was a wake-up call, like I finally got to a certain level where people can call me and where like I can just kind of go on the spot. But then that wasn't enough. Now I had to be more organized, I had to be more responsible, I had to be a little more accountable for my life, my actions. I showed up drunk, but I think at the time
rockstar shit. Damn,
I was going through a little bit of an existential crisis, though, a bit of a mid quarter life crisis, because I was maybe getting anxious about where my life was going. I was still uncertain about things, and I behaved impulsively. I wasn't getting a lot of sleep, and I was like, I remember. My life was good. And then it was like I fucked up on a gig that had consequences that I messed up not only my credibility, but the people that hired me, their credibility. And it was the first gig, and it was even like, looking back, it was pretty small. It wasn't large. It wasn't really that much of a big deal, but
because it wasn't just you that was going down, but it was other people too and stuff, right?
They had to like just fill in for my slack. And by the time I came around, you know, they didn't trust me anymore. Like I told them, like, oh, I remember these songs, I know how to, and like, oh no, because you've been, you know, you weren't good to play like for the most part. And like, why are we gonna, like, we're just gonna cover for you? And then like, and that really like was a reality check for me. Like, oh shit, I've been throwing so much. I took things way too lightly, throwing so much caution to the wind that it caught on and it catch up to, and it wasn't even I'm kind of lucky that it was still a relatively small scale gig, but it was enough for me to realize like I needed to change, like I needed to get organized and I needed to take more responsibility for my life. It was just one of those wake-up calls anyway. So that's what I've been kind of working on this past year anyway, trying to get better at that, trying to just get better at handling things. And so that's pretty, anyway, that's what I have to say about, but in terms of, but your original question is how do you make it in the music industry really is, you kind of have to get a ball rolling. Like most people who, for example, are music professors, that's kind of like a side gig unless they do it full time, and they rarely do. So like they usually, sometimes they'll cancel class for a week because they're going on tour or they have a gig across the country or something. And like my bass professor, he's a sub for the LA Philharmonic. It's like a orchestra. He goes on tour, and one time we went on tour, we had to do Skype lessons, and but he also tours like around the country or around the city, like, but he knows different people when it's different. Essentially, if you want to be like a regular, there's different paths to being a working musician. Like most people think it's the celebrity path, like American Idol, get famous, maybe or maybe Justin Bieber, like get discovered on a platform, and then they give you a record deal, and that's if you want to be a celebrity, which people probably like your music, but they also probably like your image will play a part too, and the idea that you represent really. And being a celebrity is very different from being a working musician. I mean, they're both working musicians, but it's not something I would want to aspire to be, because, well, one, I don't even think I have like the personality for it. But it's also like, it's not what I want to do. Like, you write a hit song and then everybody wants to hear it, and then you have to do interviews, and then people want to sponsor you. I mean, don't get me wrong, sponsorships are cool, but it's not what I want to get paid. What I want anyway, like I have a jazz gig in the morning. Then later that night, I have a salsa gig. Then next day, I might have a cafe gig. And then maybe I have a guitar lesson. I'm teaching a guitar lesson to somebody who wants to learn. You know, that's what I pictured my life. That's what I have. I actually want to just play music, like play around.
So it's kind of like you're kind of like, I guess, a Rolling Stone in terms of just gigs. Like you're trying to, like, the way you survive is just you're ahead of the curve and you're consistent with like getting gigs.
You have to make a lot of connections, have multiple streams of income kind of thing. But that's not even most musicians. That's like people who want to be hired guns. So you try to mold yourself into somebody who's adaptable, can learn quick. Like most saxophone players will learn how to read music so that when they get to, like I've hired horn players who they show up to gigs, we never rehearsed, and they read what's on the music and they play wonderfully. There's people who have perfect ears and they can follow what's going on. They have perfect pitch, meaning if you play a note or if you play chords or something, they'll know what to do, and like they can feel it out. Like there's people who can read very well. There's people who can learn songs extremely quickly.
So what do you feel like are your strengths, and like is that your thing? Can you do it by ear? Are you good at reading music or on the fly type of stuff, improvisation?
Okay, so sight reading, it's pedestrian, meaning like I can't show up to a gig and sight read unless it's really basic. Like I need some time to look at that. But as a guitarist and bassist, we're not even really recruited for that. We're usually recruited to, like, if you're a bassist or a guitarist especially, you're usually recruited to read chord charts, which is what we spend a lot of time doing, because you're laying down grooves or playing chords and supporting the rest of the band. Like that's what we spent, unless like there's like specialized stuff where you have to learn certain certain riffs or you have to learn a specific song, and that song doesn't have just chords, it has like hits and that, like, you have to hit at certain times. And I'd say I'm pretty decent at like reading a chord chart. Improvisation, I'd say I'm okay. Could be better, it could always be better. I'd say I have a decent ear if given like the chance, like I'll probably hit 80%. Like I'd say I have a relative pitch, meaning I can get the pop ballpark, and I can
you can keep up.
Yeah, I can keep up. I'll be losing my breath the whole time, but I can hold my own, I think. And I think that's why people recruit me. Like to recruit me for, you know, gigs. And it also has to do with like, that's if you even want to do that, because a lot of people, like I describe that life, and it sounds like, even to other musicians, that sounds like a hassle. That's like, why would you want to do that to yourself? And I'm like, oh, but like for me, it's like, I'm not a horn player. I don't have to breathe, for example. You know, I can play all I want. It's just as long as my hands can keep up. And I can read chord charts. Like it's literally just symbols on a page, and as they go along. So it's not as much work. So it compensates a bit. And so for me, it's easy money. But for a horn player who has to read music, or there's people who, like, they're professional orchestral players, so that they're professional sight readers. You can take them for a wedding, or you put them on an orchestra and they'll play perfectly. And because there's people who don't have good ear, but they can read very well. But once you take away those notes, they can't do much. I mean, there's lots of exceptions though. Like, it really depends on what skills you work on and invest on working on. And I think it's important to learn as much as you can, even though I'm probably sound like a hypocrite because, like, my sight reading could be better. But then again, I don't always use it. Most situations where I have to sight read, where guitarists and bassists have to sight read, is we have our own time. We do that in our own time, usually. And we're kind of in that situation. That's just how it plays out usually. But if you're in the classical guitar world, for example, you're going to have to know how to sight read usually, unless they only they want you to have specific song. Like,
so it all just depends on your specialty then, right?
And it's very different too. Like some people can like I remember I was getting criticized for like, oh yeah, I want to be like for a while, like especially when I was younger, I wanted to be the first person people called. Like I wanted to be, and not just because I wanted to make money, I just enjoyed playing that much. Like it was, getting a gig was more than just a job. It was like, oh, like it was a chance to play music, like, you know, with other people, presumably people who are better than me. And you know, there's a sense where, like, when you're playing with company musicians, that like you feel fulfilled. Like you feel like there's a,
like you made it. You know, like you're with people that are like, you know, that you look up to, but now you're in the same, like you're in the same stage with them.
It feels like you're flying, like. And like everything's running smoothly, and you can see the view and how beautiful everything is. How it's so fulfilling when everything just comes together, especially like on those last minute gigs where like, but everybody's such a pro. Like all you have to do is do your part, and it really makes you think like how far you've come. Especially like, you know, the harder pieces get, and just the amount of stuff I've been able to get away with, especially when you half-ass it. But then the half-assed, like some people's half-ass is like a C-, but other people's half-ass is like a B+. And you're just surprised with how much you can get away with. But that comes with musical experience. Like there's lots of context. Like those few minutes are an amalgamation of like accumulation of like of years of experience, of mistakes, of practice, of dedication, you know, and you're getting a small glimpse into that. So, and you know, and that's one example, but
one example, even though you went like into a deep dive, but no, that's really good, man. You really fucking like, damn, man, it sounds to me like this is some like serious shit to you, which I mean, of course it is. Cause I mean, I've seen you do this shit and like low key, like the shit you do is insane because for those people that don't know, like I've known, like throughout our time, like in university, like Christian would always be like running late. I remember there was a semester where I would always be closing up the library and it would be like around 11 p.m. And usually that's when people are like, okay, when the library closes, that means the school's really, really fucking closed. But one building that would always stay fucking open would be LaCourte. Wait, was it LaCourte?
LaCourte Hall.
Yeah, LaCourte Hall, which was the main area where all the music stuff was at. And that place would still be cracking because, like, I would see Chris, like, come and, like, print out sheet music or do something, this and that. Like, he still has, like, a whole night ahead of him. There'd be times you would, like, deadass, like, sleep over, like, in the fucking university and just, like, just showering, like, the showers in the gym
it
and stuff.
It didn't help that I didn't have a car and my license. I do now. It's the one you see parked right there. And it made my life way easier, but it also enabled me to, like, you know, do more late nights and do more, like, I mean, be more efficient, but that was...
Yeah, because you make the most out of it. Because you take the bus, and then, like, he had jobs from, like, where you had to go from Carson to downtown and then back up and stuff like that, like...
Yeah, that semester kind of fucked me over. Like, it may have caused neural damage because of the lack of sleep, and then, like, I was hopping classes, and that's in a whole nother... I don't want to go into this one because I feel like we've gone on too many tangents, and there's certain other points I want to hit.
Okay, well... Either way, yeah, point is, Christian's been through a lot, and that's just the way things go when you grow throughout the years, but to see you kind of get into doing, like, these type of things where now, like, music is, like, your fucking thing, you're, like, that's slowly starting to become, like, your livelihood, I want to know, like, because before you were the person you are now, before you were the music major, before you were, you know, like, the guy I met, like, what was, like, where did it all start for you? Like, where was the point where, like, you started with music first, where did you start in music, or how did you get into music first of all, and then after, tell me what was the point where you were like, this is what I want to do for like the rest of my life?
Okay, yeah, that's a big one to unravel.
Exactly. So we'll go with the first one. Okay, first one, how'd you start with music?
So let's give some context, like pre-context. My dad actually plays guitar. We're in my garage right now. It's like we have drum sets, guitars everywhere, keyboards lying around.
Here in my garage. It's got my little Lamborghini.
Here my guitar head ass. Like, there's a new set of bongos I've ever seen. I have my upright bass from school because I kind of stole it. That's another story.
Not really stolen for legal context.
So my dad played semi-professionally. Like, it was like he played in some groups. He's playing nightclubs or whatever. But he didn't start playing until he was in his 20s. But he kept by the time I was born, he just kept it around. He'll have jam sessions. He did a few gigs when I was a kid, but parties. He works in state government. He's making pretty decent money. We were actually poor before. We used to live in South Central in a small apartment. My dad.
I live in fucking South Central. What's that supposed to fucking mean? Call me poor?
Yes.
That's fucking Christian, man. He's a fucking savage. Continue.
No. I mean, we were like, I mean, like, legit struggling, as in, like, my mom she used to work in the, in a barbershop. I was a baby. I was like 1 year old. And my mom worked in a barbershop, and it used to get run up, like, get robbed every other week by, you know, dudes in ski masks and shotguns, and then, like, or get raided by ICE. Since my mom was light skinned, she would always get passed up, though. They'll say hi to her, ironically enough. And, you know, my dad was like, oh, you can quit, you know, like, I'll work, but, like, and then my dad, like, he applied for the state job, like, years ago, and, like, he wasn't, I don't know what he was doing, but then he got a call, and then he was making more money, and then we moved out here to Southgate, which is where I live now, but which is not very far from where we live, like, on the edge of South Central. Like, you've seen that church, St. Aloysius, which is the Catholic school I went to. That and the barbershop in front was where my mom used to work, actually. But my dad, for the most part, kept all the equipment and the hopes that maybe, like, just in case his kids got into it. And I didn't. I was a regular kid, kind of, for the most part. I kind of, you know, I like played video games, or I liked watching TV, or like playing with my friends. And music looked cool, but I didn't know how to, you know, get into it. And it was just one of those things. And I got into, like, playing violin at my school because, like, they wanted people who were, like, who were on their – who had good grades. And I was, like, one of those kids, apparently. And that kind of, like, stepped me in. I can't play violin for the life of me anymore. That was just beginner-level stuff. But it did put me in – it did, like, get – spark the flame, if you will. And then it wasn't until, like, I was, like, maybe 13 or 14 years old. By this time, I was going to Catholic school. And for those of you, the Catholic school I went to, if you wanted to get, like, not fail your classes, you had to do your homework. And we'll get, like, books. And, like, if you didn't want to get scolded anyway, especially publicly scolded from the class. And that was, like, I was kind of a nerd. And I just spent a lot of time in the library. And, like, I'll be doing, like, my math homework, English homework, right? Literature homework, history homework.
Nerd!
Basically, like, and, like, I'll stay up late if I, like, if I goofed off and didn't do it, like, right when I got home, I'll be up late, and then even, like, up early, like, I'll, like, what I neglected most was reading. I just didn't read sometimes, or, like, I'll really half-ass it, not finish a chapter of whatever we were supposed to read. But I think it was because of that, though, there's a point to this. My dad has, like, all these guitars and stuff, and I'm like, and I was getting into, like, you know, I started getting into music, like, you know, listening to, like, rock bands, like, metal bands, like, Avenged Sevenfold was, like, a big influence. Like, I found out about it from my cousin. Yeah. Like, all the, like, you know, all the cool guitar, like, all the cool guitar stuff, especially the technical stuff, was what the stuff I wanted to learn how to do. It just sounded really cool. And then just all the other rock stuff. My dad had books in the garage, he had the guitar, and I just started kind of teaching myself. And then throughout high school, you know, you jam with people, and I just kind of kept playing, learning songs I liked. But it was very on and off. And then I kind of gigged with my dad. He taught me how to play. Like, once he saw I started taking an interest, he kind of, like, would teach me stuff like how to play, like, cumbias, rancheras, norteña. They're all very similar, but they have their, you know, to play at parties or whatever. And so I kind of had experience playing for people and jamming out people who want to start bands. And, like, because I had that kind of nerdy mentality of, like, learning stuff, and, like I guess that made me good by self-taught teenager standards anyway. And it was very on and off, but I didn't. And then my mom, she used to walk around the block a lot, and she heard piano playing on my block. And she met him, and he's like, oh, he does lessons. And he used to do lessons really expensive, but he offered, like, a really good deal, like $12 a lesson, like 30 minutes. And I learned, and he did these hyper lessons with me. Like, I would learn, like, a lot of music in the smallest amount of time. Like, I learned how to play, like, the second song I learned how to play was Für Elise by Beethoven. Basically, the song that goes, like, but that's, like, in by university level, that's, like, intermediate stuff. But I learned how to play that within, like, a month of, between, like, 2 or 3 months of playing. Like, that's how good this guy was. And then that made me really, and then I found out about people, like, I had this idea that to make it big in music, you had to be really big and, like, struggle for a long time. And most bands don't make it. But then I found out people just weren't famous and made a living just, like, playing music and just doing it. And I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds like a possibility. And then by the time I went to school.
Wait, so basically it was like, so I guess that kind of goes into the second question. So, like, you saw this other side of how to make a livelihood out of music that you didn't think was even, like, an option. You just thought you had to be, like, some big famous rock star or you didn't make it. But turns out you can just, you know, do a couple chords here, play a couple bass lines here, get a nice check of change for the groceries and the bills and the rent, and then you're good. So
yeah, I mean, I didn't even want a lot out of life. Like, I used to fantasize when I thought I was gonna take, like, the route my dad takes. He has a government job, and he's doing pretty well for himself, and he has all these instruments, and he just kind of plays recreationally. He still actually gets recruited for gigs. I doubt he needs money. Usually he, like, gives it, like, he'll get paid, and he'll, like, give the money to my sisters or something to get food, or I don't know, like, it, it doesn't mean anything to him. And but when I was younger, like, when I was 13 and starting to play guitar, I was like, I thought, oh man, if I go to college and get a good job, maybe be a university professor. I actually wanted to be a history major at first, and I could, like, get a house or an apartment, and I could fill it up with instruments, like all the musical instruments that I want. And every day when I come home from work, I can, like, just jam out all I want. And then the weekends, I could like write songs, maybe even record stuff, and then invite people over to play. Like that was like, that was the life I had fantasized for myself when I was a preteen and maybe even a teenager. And then when you're a teenager, like life's creeping up and it's like, okay, what am I going to do? And then college came. I'm like, it was actually when I met Ivan, when and he was actually like in, you know, he bring his guitar over. Not just Ivan, but like I met other music students, and I met Mary, the piano professor, and I met like, that made me like really like want to go fall in headfirst into the whole this life that I wanted to be a part of. And I'm like, you know what? I want to get good. I want to, like, I want to be able to support myself and do this, and like, you know, and enjoy life. And that would be enjoying life for me anyway.
Okay. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're getting close to the 1 hour mark here. It's been 54 minutes, Chris.
Oh man.
Then we're in the thick of it, yo.
Oh man, it went so fast. I'm like, I'm hoping people didn't get bored.
No. I mean, you gave a lot of insight into your world. It's like into the music world and stuff like that. So listen, we're going to end off with one last question. And then, which I kind of feel like is kind of like a good way to go into for which. Oh, what happened?
Oh, is it bass related or?
Oh, no. It's a question that I have that's kind of like a good way for you to kind of like plug your stuff too. So like for you, What's in store for you in the future? Like, what do you have planned? What do you want things to happen, you know, in terms of your projects, things in mind, musically, yourself, challenges? What's next for you?
I'm just going to keep practicing. I'm going to arranging with, follow my Instagram. Hopefully, Anthony will plug it.
Don't worry, it'll be in the description.
I'm going to plug in my Instagram. Hopefully I'll bring up some more personal arrangements with that singer, Ida Villegas. Hopefully an EP in the future, and with my band Resonance, which I play bass for. And
plug their IG too.
Oh yeah, Resonance the band. No. Resonance Music Group. There you go.
Okay. Don't worry, I'll have these on the description, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow. It's good music, man. I'm telling you, it's good music.
And I'm just going to try to keep practicing, keep getting better. Hopefully try to like, I'm also going to try to, I'm getting calls for like, just getting back on the horse, like gigging a few clubs, a few parties. I'm getting, just try to get back in the game, I guess, and hopefully get better out of, like, after the whole corona thing. I messed up my hands yesterday because I was doing some network for my grandpa. That's another long story. So I might not be able to practice for these days, but I want to get right back on it as soon as possible.
All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So we're at the 56-minute mark. All right. This has been Tony Talks. I'll probably keep this episode, probably 56 minutes. You know, I feel like a lot has been said. Actually, you know what, I think I might have you back on, because there's a lot of other stories we had some wild fucking times, like the Slayer stories, like us in Bakersfield and stuff like that.
Even mentioned Andrew.
Yeah, and then Andrew, like that. This is just like we barely scraped the surface of like other stories. So just like I did with the other guest last time with the boy Don, same thing with Christian. I'll probably could be back with him to talk about more misadventures, and then also maybe talk more things in music, because I definitely want to jam with you later, like, you know, in the future when I, you know, bring my fucking bass, because I forgot my goddamn fucking bass. But yeah, we'll come back. Maybe even next time his hands will be, you know, good for you to, for him to, you know, hear what he's got, because he plays really good right now. You know, hands fucked up doing that work. Working like a true Mexican, you feel me? Out here just fucking digging at cement. I feel you, homeboy.
My grandpa was doing it by himself. He's old. Like, he was doing it by himself. He only got, like, so much done. And if me and my dad didn't help him, like, he was going to... I don't know what would have happened. This was, like... I still can't believe we finished.
So, long story short, he was out here getting them hands all fucked up for a good cause to help his poor grandpa who was working solo. But you know what? You know why he's working solo? Because that's just how Mexicans work, man. We working from dusk till dawn, bro. That's just the working mentality. We're warriors. We're strengthened. That's why you do this music shit. Because, you know, at the end of the day... You were born to not do this average Joe shit. You were not meant for a 9-to-5, Chris. You were meant to be fucking rocking clubs and, you know, shooting up heroin in bathrooms and playing jazz or whatever the fuck y'all do. Whatever you jazz fucking players doing shit. But no, like, it's cool, man. So
jazz guys are known for, like, all those jazz guys are, they were drug addicts. They lived life, like, rock style lives, even though, like, today, like, it's, like, the opposite. These jazz guys were, like, rock stars, apparently. Like, they were crazy.
So Chris is going to bring back that tradition and start shooting up heroin and start sleeping with a bunch of random people and maybe contract hepatitis C, because that's some hepatitis C behavior. No, but definitely look out for Chris rocking your local stages, man, because he plays everywhere, man. He plays cumbia clubs because he's all about that cumbia life. He plays jazz. He plays everything. Music dropping soon. A lot of things coming from this boy Christian. So this has been Tony Talks. Oh, we're about to like be 1 minute from the hour mark. But you know what? It's cool. We could just end it here. So this has been Tony Talks. Make sure to follow Christian. I'll have all of his stuff in the description, so that way, you know, you can follow him on all his things. He's a really good musician. Make sure to listen to his music. Here's bass. Here's guitars. Here, everything this man plays. You play a lot of stuff, man. It's crazy.
We didn't even get to upright bass.
Oh, yeah, you play upright bass. You know what? We'll save that for the next episode, because that's a whole other fucking caged animal. That fucking upright bassing looks huge. It's like a fucking casket, dude. It's kind of freaking me out, yo.
Not as bad as you think.
Yeah, it's not as bad as you think. But anyways, ending it. All right, this has been Tony Talks. My name is Anthony.
Chris over here,
I guess.
that's a way to end it off, apparently.
There you go. Perfect. All right, this has been Tony Talks. Have yourself a fucking wonderful day. Stay beautiful. Stay safe. Love each other. Don't be racist and don't be a fucking dick. Bye.